Hello, this is Matt Kennedy, and this is Good Shepherd's weekly podcast. This week, we take up a question that was asked on Sunday by one of our college students. This particular student is working through Romans, the book of Romans, with her Bible study, and she came across a passage that caused her caused her some concern. It comes from Romans chapter 5. The verse is verse 18, and I'll read it for you, but if you want to look it up, that'd be great too. The verse says, "Therefore, as one trespass or sin led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." Now, Paul in this chapter is speaking about the fall of humanity that came as a result of one man's sin, and that one man is Adam. And he's also referring to the reverse, or the reversal of the overturning of that fall that came by one man, Jesus Christ, who we have later called the second Adam, because he's undid what the first Adam did. He has reversed the curse, so to speak. So in verse 18 of chapter 5, Paul is saying, well, this one man committed one sin, and that led to condemnation for all, and another man, by his one act of righteousness, by his death on the cross, leads to, he says, justification and life for all men. And the question that she had is, does this mean that all are justified by virtue of what Jesus has done on the cross? Does this justification apply to all people everywhere? Now, in order to understand what Paul means here, we have to get the context right. It's sometimes in the Bible when words like all or every or words that seem to imply a universal application are used, it does mean to apply it universally. Other times, it doesn't. For example, there's a place in the book of Acts where we're told that the preaching of the apostles has put the whole world in an uproar. And we know that at that time the apostles had not yet visited everywhere in the entire world. They had not gone across the Atlantic and visited the Americas. They had preached primarily in Palestine and in and around the Mediterranean Sea. So it couldn't have been the whole world that was intended by that text, only a certain portion of the world. But the Bible employs hyperbole for effects in the same way that we do in our regular language. The question is Paul using some hyperbole here in Romans chapter 5, verse 18? And I think the answer to that question has to be yes. If you turn back in your Bible, if you have your Bible open to Romans chapter 3, verse 21, we read this. Paul is talking here about how no one is going to be justified by following the law, because we're all sinners, we're all unable to be considered righteous in God's sight because our sins have made that impossible. But he says in verse 21, "Now a righteousness of God has been manifested, has been made known, that is apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." Verse 22, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And verse 24, "are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." So there's faith that comes first, and as a result of that faith, we receive justification. It doesn't apply to all, it applies to those who have faith. Now, in Romans chapter 10, we see the same idea reiterated. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 5, Paul is referring back to a section of Deuteronomy, and he's comparing the word, the hope and the salvation that we have now in Jesus Christ to that which was given through Moses. And he says, "For Moses wrote about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does this new righteousness say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth, and in your heart, that's the word of faith we proclaim, because, verse 9, and this is the important part, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for it is with the heart that one believes and is justified. There's that word again. And again, it's connected to faith. So what is Paul doing in chapter 5, verse 18? Well, we have to be careful with the words. Go back, if you go back to that verse, you'll see, therefore, as one trespass, this is chapter 5, verse 18 again, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. The focus of this passage is the act, not necessarily the justification. The act does lead to justification and life for all men, in the sense that all have the possibility of being justified. And how do they access that justification that has been won? Well, they access that through faith. We've been told that already in Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5. Another passage to look for, not in Romans, but it is another passage that Paul writes about justification, is in Galatians chapter 3. And it's always good to compare Paul's writing elsewhere to the text that you're reading or you're studying, to get a fuller view of Paul's understanding of a given subject. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. And he goes on, now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law. Why? Well, because we can't follow the law. For, and then he quotes here from another Old Testament book, and he says, "For the righteous shall live by faith." I think it's Habakkuk, verse 12. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. He's drawing this contrast between the old way of or the old understanding of how one is declared righteous or becomes righteous through works and compared to the gospel. Verse 13, Christ redeems us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. In other words, the fact that we have not been able to follow this law has made us all eternally guilty before God, and yet Christ took that eternal guilt on his own shoulders on the cross and died to take it away. He died in our place. He took our punishment. He bore the curse for us. In verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through what? Through faith. Again, in view here is this being justified. Christ has won the possibility, or he has effected the possibility for all men to be justified, but only those who come to him by faith will be justified. All right. Now, this does lead to the larger question of what justification is. And justification, in brief, is the declaration by God that you are righteous in his sight. And the basis for that declaration is not your goodness. It's not what you do. It's not the works that you perform, because we cannot perform any good works, or at least any works that are acceptable to God. The basis of that declaration is God's application of the righteousness of Christ to our account. The righteousness that Christ lived out during his earthly life and the forgiveness that comes through his blood shed on the cross. All that is applied to our account when we come to faith. If you want a biblical reference for this, you can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where we read, for our sake he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. God accredited Jesus with something that he was not, or he considered Jesus to be something he was not. He considered Jesus to be sin. And we know that Jesus was not a sinner. So there was an alien sinfulness that God credited to Jesus on the cross. Why did he do that? Well, the verse explains it. Verse 21. so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, so just like Jesus bore on the cross a sin nature, or a sinfulness that was not his own, so we, through faith, become or bear a righteousness that is not our own. Well, whose is it? It's Christ. It's God's. So what happens when you're justified is you come to faith, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is applied to your account, and your sins are forgiven. Your sins are actually taken from you and transferred or credited to Jesus on the cross. I hope this clears up some of the confusion that you may have felt while you were reading this text. If you have any other questions about it, or you have any other questions at all, this is speaking to everyone in general, please do let me know. You can call the church office, 607-723-8032, or you can call me at home at 773-4810, same area code. Or you can email me, of course, as always. Thank you, and have a good day.